Adams, Adamly, Adamowski, Bueller, Burns, Burns, Burns. Joe, where you going with that mic in your hand?
It's time for school, Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
But once I had the report, I started seeking out stories that were written about the report. And one of the questions I saw, and I think it's a brilliant question, if buyers of the products know that they're fake, do they care?
No.
Class is in.
This is the Rock School Radio Show on the Rock School Radio Network. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
And we're brought to you in part, at least till the grant runs out, of the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now look, contrary to what the entire world believes, I don't know everything. I know I hear the giant collective gasps out there. Every so often, I run across something I have never heard of before. You know that on this show, I am a huge proponent of people who make music being able to make a living.
Oh, yeah.
At it. But streaming and 360 deals and all these different things seem to be profit-driven and fully against the musician. And I ran into something else that I believe, along with AI, is going to spell yet less human beings who are able to make a living in this business. Because at the end of the day, music is money.
Mm-hmm.
It costs money to do it. The guitars I'm surrounded by didn't come to me because of my good looks. Again, I hear the collective gasp. So, yesterday, I ran into the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Is that a thing?
Yeah. The U.S. Trade Representative is the USTR, and they release a yearly list of, quote, notorious markets for counterfeiting and privacy. That list is called the NML, stands for Notorious Market List. The 2024 list just came out. Obviously, 2025 ain't over yet, but it suggests that music pirating is more than alive and well. It is becoming an industry, and it is harming what little there is left to support musicians. Okay? The majority of the content that I'm going to give you comes from what they call self-reported sources. Now, if any of you have done any higher level academics where you do research and such, you know that self-reported sources are usually not good. That gives them the ability to alter the content to make themselves look more hurt, more wonderful, more what have you. Usually you want to do the research yourself and get more clear picture, but this is all self-reported. It says here the record companies are still doing well in terms of money because of streaming. This seems to me, always has, but it's true, seems like a backwards logic that ever since streaming started, you think since they're paying the artists fractions of a cent, that the record companies must also be kind of hurting for money, but they're not. And the reason is, previous to streaming, it was sales of content. So I might buy 3 records this month, then not buy any records for 2 months, and then I might buy 6 records, that kind of thing. Whereas once streaming came in, that $5.99 each month from, geez, how many millions of people are on Spotify?
Oh, yeah.
Again and again and again. You can actually create predictions off of it. What are we going to make next year, the year after, and da, 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 da. Yet musicians continue to be paid fractions of a cent for each play. So, according to the report, and this is worldwide, I consider myself a fairly savvy internet person.
Right.
And I didn't know about two or three of these things.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you which ones because I don't want to look stupid. But according to the report, and by the way, you can find it as well if you want to read it, search USTR counterfeiting and privacy report. Do that, you'll find it. The RIAA, the Record Industry Association of America, is the main source of the concerns dealing with music. Other things are handled, but I only cared about the music. The two main pirating things worldwide are Discord and Telegram. Now, I knew Discord. Do you know Discord?
No.
It's like a gaming app where you watch people game. And it's more than that, but that's about as quick an explanation as I can give it. The second one is Telegram. Have you ever heard of Telegram?
No.
Me either. That was a brand new thing to me. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why these two are so successful at pirating music and why they can't be taken down. So what are we going to play for the show? I got a whole list of songs about stealing things. Here's Boz Scaggs and the Lido Shuffle on Rock School.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack. But that was all he missed. And he ain't coming back. Attitude, stone bar, and a gin joint cup.
Okay, what is Telegram, what is Discord, and how are they, according to the United States government, how are they the number one pirating sites on music? You would think it would be some dark web thing. It is not. Okay, Telegram, what is it? Look, I just went and copied this. A free cloud-based messaging app. Cloud-based. Oh, you read it? It's me. It's up in the air. And I was like, no, it's not. There's a server farm somewhere. They just call it cloud-based. It's an app known for focus on speed, security, and features like large group chats and file sharing. Okay? The file sharing was set up the same way Napster was, except everything Napster did was out in the real world. Napster stayed alive just by simply saying to the United States government, all we're doing is making connections. We don't know what they're moving around. Of course they did. Of course they knew they were sending out the new Metallica songs. But they, you know, were able to stay alive by just falling behind the copyright, what they call Safe Harbor Act. We don't know what people are doing. We're just offering a service. So if AOL, and I use AOL because this was really the first screaming area where this kind of thing happened. If AOL wanted to have a giant chat for kids and a bad actor came in,
right.
It's not AOL's fault. They just offered it. They didn't invite that guy in. That's the safe harbor clause of the Copyright Act. So according to this, the RIAA has identified them, Telegram, as a primary mechanism for the unauthorized distribution of pre-released music. Okay, how? Private channels. Many channels exist solely to distribute pirated music, movies, ebooks, and software. You subscribe to these private channels, and you say, wait a minute, if we know they're private, and we know that someone can come into it, why can't the government or the FBI or whoever just come in on their own? They can. They absolutely can. But because people who are coming in are not dumb, these private channels in which you must be invited, now you can say, I want to come in, but they're going to vet you. And once they vet you, even if you get in, everything is moved around using what are known as Smurf. What you would do is I'm going to send it to Sheboygan, Wisconsin, but it would go through, I don't know, Russia. Then it would go through Greenland. Then it would come back down. And if you stick a VPN in there, a virtual private network, you can't track it.
Wow.
So now anybody can come in and grab whatever they want. You say, that sounds like BitTorrent. Hang on. I'm getting back to that. 1,000 subscribers in a channel can act with virtual file libraries offering access to a wide array of copyrighted content. This is also in encrypted chats and groups. So you take a file that is compressed. You ever gotten a zip file?
Mm-hmm.
Get a file that's compressed. Go into an encrypted chat. Let's say it's encrypted at 128 bits. You'll never figure it out. Then you send it using a VPN. It's untraceable.
Wow.
It is completely, wholly, and fully untraceable. And you say, no, it can't. You can't. You got to be able to break that. When's the last time you bought something on the web? Didn't you know that was encrypted? So you trust that transaction to have your money?
Amazon?
But then you don't trust this? Well, which is it? Oh, no. The people are ahead of those who are chasing them. In terms of attacking digitally, usually you got four areas. Hacker, cracker, freak, or sneaker. A hacker is somebody who hacks in. Usually this is where they do damage. A cracker is somebody who cracks codes. Get me past this firewall. A freaker, PH, is somebody who deals with a phone, and a sneaker is somebody who is paid to hack on purpose. Find the holes. And just the normal user, with things you can buy legally, they're ahead of the sneakers. They're ahead of it. The second one is Discord. It's a communication platform, voice, video, text, chat, all of that. Huge with gamers. Same thing. Public and private communities called servers. Why are they called servers? Because they could physically be the box. You have a computer, that's a box. It could physically be the box, and each server section can be private, encrypted, and sitting on a VPN. And the only way you get in is to be accepted. Hackers and cyber criminals use Discord as a communication hub. Just to let you know how old this is, the people who did 9/11, they communicated with one another over the internet by sending each other pornographic pictures. Except the pornographic pictures had inside of it a watermark.
Really?
So when you got it in and you put that picture into the thing that would de-encrypt, I'm sure there's a different word for it, the picture would go away and there would be the watermark, and the watermark is the message.
Oh my God.
And that was back in, what was 9/11? You know, 2001? Am I right about that?
Okay. Yes.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Crazy.
It says here, hackers and cyber criminals use it all the time. And there are entire social engineering campaigns set up to steal unreleased music from artists and labels. Now, the RIAA, the Record Industry Association of America, says at least these two groups respond to takedown notices. However, the RIAA, remember all of this is self-reported, the RIAA indicates that both should be doing more. Quote, it is unclear once they receive a takedown notice if they take any steps to limit or prevent what is happening? I'm going to guess no. That's what Joe's going to guess. No. And you say, but where are these people making their money? Number of eyeballs, number of people sold to advertisers. Advertising things that a 61-year-old man, me, would have no idea.
Wow.
None whatsoever. But other people would. All right, we're playing songs about thieving, about taking, stealing, give me your money. It's Travis Tritt, modern day Bonnie and Clyde on Rock School.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling off on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. We met at a truck stop, Johnson City, Tennessee. I was gassing up my fiber when I heard her calling me. Said, which way are you headed, boy?
Into the first break, we are talking about the U.S. Trade Representation, notorious markets for counterfeiting and privacy. And apparently it's just out of control. It's insane. Here's a way I never heard of, or I'd never heard the actual terms. Stream ripping or stream recording or de-streaming, but mostly it's known by stream ripping. Ever heard of it?
No.
Here's what it is. Software that from just about anywhere can grab a streaming song as a single item, as a single MP3. YouTube is one of the big ones. This is where websites generally named YouTube to MP3 or something else are employed. I've used them. I just flat out admit it. Why? Because I think I'm protected as to what it says. Every so often on the show, I'll need a song from 1906.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place I can get it other than YouTube, and I'll grab it. And furthermore, I am also protected because I'm on a BMI radio station, multiple BMI radio stations. So, and I always report what I play. So everything is being paid in terms of royalties. To which some of you are going to say, well, isn't that in the public domain? Yeah, I picked a date way too early, but you kind of get the idea of what I'm saying. The anti-circumvention provision of the U.S. Digital Millennium Copyright Act claims these things as a, quote, rolling cipher, meaning it can just go grab anything that's being streamed. And the RIAA is going after them. In early October of this year, the International Federation of Phonographic Industry, the IFPI, which is kind of the RIAA for the world, went crazy and shut down a ton of these stream-ripping sites like YouTube to MP3, Y2Mate.com. However, they're back up. But why? This is where we start to run into trouble. They claimed amicus curiae in court. What that means is something over there is happening that is illegal. I may have been part of it, but I am not involved in the illegality of it. So here's their thought process. If somebody goes to YouTube, uses my site to grab a YouTube video, especially if the person is paying for like YouTube Red.
Mm-hmm.
And they grab that video and they bring it down. That's allowed. Don't you remember DVRs?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you remember burning CDs?
Yeah. Yep.
If I bought the new, say, Pat Benatar CD, I could burn 10 copies as long as the copies were only for me.
Okay. How do they know it's only for you?
Darn good question. Darn good question. So if I burn that Pat Benatar CD, I put it in my car. I put it in your car because you live in my house. I put it in my office. I put it in my gym. I put it on my iPod. Fine. It's when I distribute it. And these websites, like YouTube to MB3, they're saying, look, we're just doing a download for stuff people have paid for. When they distribute it, that's when it becomes illegal, and that is when it becomes not my problem.
What is the distribution? What is it?
Okay, let's say I download it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how easy this is. I download it. How many people work at my institution, my university? A couple thousand?
Sure.
Let's say there's 2,500 people.
Sure, why not?
I can send one email. Hey, here's a new song. Dig it. Bang. There are now 2,500, I mean, in a half a second.
Oh, yeah.
There's 2,500 copies. It's not really copies. There's one copy, but people can go get it.
Okay, so you did the terrible thing.
Yeah.
What happens to you? Who comes and gets you and takes you to jail?
If I'm big enough, the RIAA will get the FBI involved.
Oh.
Oh, it happened with Napster. Remember there was a woman up in, I think, Minnesota? Who downloaded something like 25 songs and they came after her for like $500,000? Are you insane? Are you insane?
That's messing up everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's whether they want to come after you or not. All of these ripping sites are claiming fair use. And to be honest with you, it's not wrong because they're not profiting. Now, fair use is this big, giant area. You should read it sometime. It's mind-boggling. But the big thing about fair use... Are you using it to make money? Yes. It's not fair use. Are you using it to promote? Yes. It's not fair use. Where do these people make money? Where do they promote?
I don't believe that anything happens in life without someone making money on the other side of it.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Okay, we'll be back in a second to talk about something else I didn't know about. Go ahead, who's listening to us?
Ooh, that would be WYAP, Clay, West Virginia.
We're on the yap, Tammy. We're on the yap. Back in a minute here on Rock School. Coming out of the break, let me give you a real quick one so we can get back on time. Have you ever heard of Vinted?
No.
No? Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon, yeah.
eBay?
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other sort of what they call decentralized platforms. Now, don't get me wrong, eBay and Amazon have got central locations, specifically Amazon. But a vast number of products that are sold on Amazon are sold by people who sell through Amazon.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Amazon is supposed to step up and make sure that they're not selling something that is illegal.
Like stolen?
Right. Do they? Well, I'm sure they do their best, but it is still what we call a decentralized platform. And what they're finding, Vinted, by the way, vintage is kind of what it's suggesting. It used to be a place that sold old clothes,
mm-hmm.
and now it's just selling all the things. But here's what's happening. People are going into Vinted, Amazon, eBay. There's one where you can make a website that can become a storefront in a Shopify, I think it is. But people are coming in, nefarious actors, bad actors as they're called, will come in, they'll set up a store, and they will sell fake stuff, counterfeited stuff. So Vinted or Amazon or eBay will show up and go, no, you stop that.
Mm-hmm.
You stop that. We are deplatforming you.
Right.
So what? It will take them, I don't know, let's say their name was Fred.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take them 24 hours to create a new Fred, you know, or Fred 2 or Gwendolyn, whatever they want to call themselves. And the same crap goes right back up and on.
Oh, yeah.
To which you say, crap, we're going to get to this. Here's the problem. It's not crap. It used to be that when you were with Napster, there was a real good chance you were going to get a very, very, very bad copy of a piece of music. That's not the case anymore. And I'm going to tell you a personal story. You're going to go, oh, Joe, how could you? Well, I could because it was cheap. David Allan Coe, we're playing songs about theft. I love robbing banks on Rock School.
Let's keep the motor running. This won't take very long. By the time the police get here, we'll be already gone. We got to leave them hanging. We can't leave them no clues. Just take the money and run. Lord, I love robbing banks. Lord, I love robbing banks. I always tell the teller thanks. Lord, I love robbing banks. I like to holler stick up when I walk through the door. It lets them know the safe just isn't safe anymore. I like to see their faces when I show them my gun. Then take the money and run. Lord, I love robbing banks. Lord, I love robbing banks.
Coming into the bottom of the hour, I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Tammy Burns.
All right, let's talk about this idea that I sort of suggested in the last break, that it's not crap. It's so easy to say, you know, if you're walking down the street in New York City, not that we've done this, and you buy a faux, what would be a Chanel?
A purse, whatever.
Sure, faux Chanel bag or something like that. You say, well, it's got to be crap. Well, maybe it is, but it's one of those at first glance, it's a Chanel bag. Here's the thing, anymore, this idea of bootlegging is not creating bad stuff. And you say, how do you know? 'Cause I do. And I'll tell you why. Believe it or don't, bootleg vinyl is becoming enough of a problem to hit the radar. China and Russia are bootlegging vinyl and CDs. And then they're going to use these shady e-commerce platforms. And they're not even shady. Amazon isn't shady.
They're not hiding.
But they'll set up a storefront. They'll be caught. They'll shut the storefront down. And then they'll just pop up somewhere else, or like whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell to consumers all over the world. I hate to admit it, but I have used a Russian MP3 site that I'd rather not name. Because, again, on this show, I don't play just songs everyone knows. I will go back in history. I'll play a third, seventh, eighth deep cut in an album. Where do you find all that?
Well, how did the Russians find all that?
Oh, easy. They bought it. They sent some guy out to a Russian Peaches record store, bought it, they digitized it, and threw it up on
there. Give me the record.
What are you doing there? Give me that one.
Give me that record.
The Van Halen. Then they sell to resellers. This is the real bad part. They will sell to resellers who are unaware what they're buying is fake. So a record store here in the United States will buy these cheap records from Russia and have plausible deniability. We didn't know it was fake. I'm not kidding. What worries legal manufacturers is the quality. But here's the thing. The quality is there. We're going to do 7 days. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you a story about me. Where you can usually find that it is fake, that a lot of these resellers are creating best of and greatest hits compilations that were never released. And it's fairly easy to figure out that it is, but therein lies the question. Okay, I want the greatest hits of Honeymoon Suite,
mm-hmm.
that Canadian supergroup that had one hit. I got a new girl now. Okay, great.
Right.
now there's a best of. They never recorded a best of, but I like them. So now I have the best of what they did record. Do people, I mean, where, somewhere there's got to be some conscience, but I don't know. Let's do 7 days. I'll come back. I'll tell you another story. Here be the dates for 7 days, 70 seconds. December 1 through December 7th. Tammy has Monday. Go.
December 1, 1971. Yeah. John Lennon releases Happy Xmas, War is Over.
That's the way they normally do it in the UK. They don't say Merry Christmas. They say Happy. And it is written as Xmas. X being the Catholic insignia for Christ.
Right.
They're not being cruel. December 2, 1983, Michael Jackson's Thriller debuts on MTV.
Ooh, December 3rd, 1994, Adam Sandler performs the Hanukkah song on Saturday Night Live.
December 4, 1971, Frank Zappa plays a concert at the Montreux Casino in Switzerland. A fan shoots off a firework, and it burns the building to the ground. It becomes the basis for the Deep Purple song, Smoke on the Water.
December 5, 1998, Billboard changes their rules for getting on the Hot 100. They did away with the rule that a song had to have a released single on the chart. Yeah. Welcome to the internet.
Absolutely. December 6, 1969, the Rolling Stones headlined the Altamont concert at a Speedway in California. It's a story unto itself involving Hell's Angels and the death of one Meredith Hunter. December 7th, 1979, Christmas Rappin' by Curtis Blow becomes the first rap song released on a major label, Mercury Records. By the way, that's going to come into play here in a little bit.
Mercury.
When we do our Christmas shows this year. Okay, what about all of this? Do you, as a listener, know what a Gibson guitar is?
Yes.
It is arguably one of the two most famous guitar makers in the world. There's Fender, there's Gibson, then there's the rest of them. I happen to love Gibson guitars. Fenders are too small for me. I'm a big fella. But I love Gibson guitars. I bought, for my birthday, a Gibson ES-335. If you want to impress your friends and neighbors, EF or ES stands for Electric Spanish. ES-335. I bought what would be easily a $2,000 instrument, except it wasn't. It was $214. Where did you buy it? Temu. I bought it off the Chinese site. The idea is I just wanted to test it out because I know a lot of people, you can find this online real easily. People will go and they'll buy these guitars, then they'll swap out the pickups, they'll put new tuners on them, and they basically have a Gibson guitar. I would love to tell you it was of hideous quality. It wasn't. It's beautiful. It is a gorgeous instrument. I thought the tuning pegs were crud. So I popped the tuning pegs on. I put on a couple ES-335 locking tuning heads. But other than that, I'm not touching anything. Whoever, and I'm sure it was somebody in a sweatshop somewhere in China, whoever put this thing together, it's wired up beautifully. The pickups sound amazing. And it's a Gibson. Actually, it's not. It's a Chinese Gibson, or what they call a Chibson. It has a serial number. It has Made in the USA on the back. It's fake as heck. But absolutely no one would know unless I suggested it to them. And I hate even saying this because I think a lot of you will now spend a couple of $100, maybe $300, and you'll get a guitar. It's all I can do not to go back to Temu and buy 10 more guitars. There's an equal to a Yamaha solid body 200 up there. It's gorgeous. And it's 312. It's all I can do not to buy it.
No.
So all of this bootleg stuff, oh, it's all crap. It's not.
Well, you did get one thing that was crap.
What was that?
The case.
Oh, the case. I ordered a case for it, and it came with like a, you know, what do you call that? A fluffy interior. There's a name for it, it is.
Yeah, it was fur, but it was beautiful on the outside.
It smelled so bad it gave people headaches. I don't know what evil thing I introduced to the Hammond area, but I threw it away.
I think I have canker for just opening it.
Canker of the anal. I took it straight to the dump and threw it away. But the guitar, it's become one of my favorite instruments.
And it didn't smell at all.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, let's play something. What am I playing here? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Glenn Frey, Smuggler's Blues here on Rockstar. Into the second break, here's a question. It wasn't brought up in the report itself, but once I had the report, I started seeking out stories that were written about the report. And one of the questions I saw, and I think it's a brilliant question, if buyers of the products know that they're fake, do they care?
No.
I have to go with you on that. My guitar is beautiful. The fact that the ES-335, it's in tobacco sunburst finish, it really is. I mean, I've been playing guitar since I was like 16, maybe earlier. I know what a good guitar feels like. I had a buddy of mine who gave me a Chibson SG Red, much like what Angus Young plays. He normally plays black SGs. This one was red. It was gorgeous. I had somebody offer me, just to play around with, a Brian May Red Special. It's fake. And it felt like the Brian May. You know, I can hear you guitarists out there trying to get online to do it. Timu. That's where I got it.
Look, I have owned fake purses, fake scarves, all that stuff. And
we bought it off the street in
New York City.
Yeah, and you didn't care.
I'd rather it be fake. I don't want somebody trying to steal my stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, take it.
Yeah, it was $10.
You got me for $10.
The print may come off on your hand. Be careful when you wash it there.
So how much is being lost? This is from the report itself. In inflation-adjusted dollars, the 2024 U.S. sound recording revenues were far below the revenues that were in 1999. And you say, Joe, you started this by saying that record companies are making more. We're not talking about the record companies. We're talking about those that make the music. Adjusted in today's dollars, U.S. recorded music revenues were over $26 billion in 1999 compared to $17 billion in 2024. That's a hellacious drop. Let's go another 10 years in the future. Can any human being, listen to me sitting here sounding all self-righteous, and I bought a Chibson.
Yeah.
Listen to me, and I've used YouTube MP3. Listen to me sounding all self-righteous. 29% of the population uses some form of copyright infringement to listen to music, whether they know it or not. However, that number jumps to 43% among 16 to 24 years old. Who's listening to us?
WYNO, SUNY, Oswego.
Back in a minute here on Rock School. We'll be right back. Okay, coming into the last break, I think it makes more sense to do the last bits that I have in a single break rather than sort of crushing it over two and sticking a song in the middle. Have you ever heard of a cyber locker?
No.
You know what a locker is, obviously.
Okay.
A cyber locker is just like that. It is a place where you host files. It's where you put things. They have generally taken over for BitTorrent sites. It's going to help if I explain to you what a BitTorrent site is. Do you remember when I was first into all of this internet stuff and I was writing the HTML goodies and I was using Napster to download, you know, look, it's the entire Emerson, Lake & Palmer collection.
Yes.
I don't even like them, you know.
Right.
I could get anything I wanted. I have, you know, I shouldn't admit this, but I have on a hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I have something like 1,000 live concerts.
Wow.
Have you ever listened to them? No, but I have them. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get some guy at my front door in a black suit talking into his cuff. We have him. He admitted it on the air. Maybe. Maybe not.
Hope
Who
so.
Knows? I used to use BitTorrent sites. Here's what it was. You had people who would put up a server, and they would create all of these files that had the extension, instead of .html or .gif or .jpeg, it would be .torrent. And you would log in, and you could grab any one of them. The thing about it is, since they were all .torrent, you had no idea what it was. So you could grab something called GoneWithTheWind.torrent, and you could say, well, that's got to be the movie. Is it? It's
really?
.torrent.
It's like opening a box and not knowing what's in there?
No, you know exactly what's in it. The people who are grabbing it, me, we knew exactly what we were grabbing. But it can't be tracked because it all says .torrent. The extension made everything look like it was just a file. Not a movie, not a song, not a PDF. There's a long list of sites that also use the names such as countries. There's one called Baidu Wangpan, that's in China. There's one called Kraken Files, that's Russia. And there's one called Steam Tape, that's in France. And they're not BitTorrent anymore. They are what they're calling cyber lockers. But the concern now is not just that you can grab these files, but that they stream. So I go in and I watch something. I didn't download the file. I just looked at it. There were a bunch in India that I saw. There's also what are known as repacking sites. FitGirl is the biggest. Here's what they do. They distribute heavily compressed versions of games and other material. But the problem is it's so heavily compressed when it is being downloaded, there's no way to track what it is or what it's going to do.
It may not even work.
Oh, it'll work.
It will?
Oh, it'll work. Absolutely. Here's the problem. It's too easy to do it. I am 61, and I know how to do it. Can you imagine a 13-year-old boy or girl? They know this up, down, through, under, nine ways from Sunday. And it's just going to continue to get worse and worse. And on that aspect, what does it mean to music? I think it means that you've got a lot of people that are going to create a product that's just going to get sent around for free. And people won't do it. We said on an earlier show, being signed to a major record label is nowhere near as profitable as being a local big band.
Mm-hmm.
We have a band here in town. It's called the Chiwis. Well, it's from the area. They are magnificently successful. They came and played the pregame at our homecoming game this year. They probably were paid $5,000 or $6,000.
What about Bag of Donuts? Same thing.
Same thing. They could care less to put out new music. Every time they show up, they're making $5,000 or $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
They have no concerns, no distribution, no piracy, what have you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They show up. They perform, they take their money, they leave. They don't have a record company in there. I think that's going to be, real soon, the only method of making money in the music world. And you and I have talked about this. When we retire, goodness knows when that's going to be, we're moving to a place that claims it has music 365 days a year. Let's say I play 150 of those days. That's money. But I don't have a record company on top of me. It's scary stuff, man.
That's real money.
Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff, man. All right. I think we're done. Are we done?
Tell me I'm done. We're done.
Tell me I'm done. That's it. We're going to play another song dealing with stealing, but I don't know what that is. Probably Jane's Addiction. That's it. Class is dismissed.